My name is Owen Thompson with the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto Public Health has released data that is found
on September 28th, 2023,
that 79 people experiencing homelessness have died within the first half of 2023. While these numbers are lower than 2022's 92 deaths at the same time, the main cause of death that Toronto Public Health has found has been from toxic drug supplies.
I spoke to Dr. Alexa Cataray, the Associate Medical Officer of Health at Toronto Public Health,
to give a better understanding of what this data means and how this affects Toronto as a whole.
So to start out, would you like to introduce yourself?
Certainly. My name is Alexa Cataray. I'm a public health physician and an Associate Medical Officer of Health working with Toronto Public Health.
So last week, on the 28th of September 2023, Toronto Public Health released their mid-2023 data for deaths of people experiencing homelessness. What were you finding?
And, you know, this information has been collected since January of 2017 with some support of a number of partners, including the Office of the Chief Coroner and our partners within the city. And we collect this data because it's important, and it's important in terms of understanding what the impact of homelessness is on health and on mortality, on people's risk of dying. What we understand from these data is that, you know, homelessness continues to negatively impact health. People who are homeless have an increased risk of dying, and they have an increased risk of dying earlier than people who aren't homeless. And I think this data also really underscores the risk of the toxic drug supply. So nearly half of the people who have been reported to have died during the first half of 2023 and died as a result of drug toxicity. We've seen this data over time. It's consistent. So in the last number of years that we've counted, it's been around the same. In 2022, it was 48%. In 2021, it was 59%. And in 2020, it was 53%. And this year, it's 46% of those reports. And I think what this really drives home for us is that, you know, the toxic and unregulated drug supply is dangerous, and the risk of using opioids in combination with other unexpected things remains a primary concern for us.
And what is the other 54%?
And so the other causes of death are varied, and some of the other causes are things like cancer, deaths attributed to accidents, deaths attributed to things like suicide. And again, like, we know that people experiencing homelessness have less access to health care and all of the things that might prevent some of those preventable deaths. So it, you know, it supports the real concern that people experiencing homelessness have more risk than people in the general population in terms of their risk of bad health outcomes.
You brought up that a large portion of these deaths, 46%, as you said, is a direct cause of drug use and toxic drug use. What exactly does that mean?
So what that means is that, you know, among people who use drugs, and particularly among people who experience homelessness who are using drugs, like, they're experiencing the impact of drugs that might be cut or adulterated with other things in a way that's risky. So, you know, what we have done at Toronto Public Health, and what we continue to build on, is work to address, you know, the sort of the combination of issues here, the public health issue of homelessness and working to address the toxic drug supply. And some of the things that we do, you know, to try and mitigate those risks, that harm and danger, are things like the Toronto Overdose Action Plan, which includes what we call harm reduction services. And so services that try to reduce the risk or to intervene when people might experience overdose, treatment services. And those are in places such as supervised consumption services. We also have what's called a drug checking service. So a service that can tell people when the drugs that they might be using have something that they might not be expecting in them, as well as what we call injectable opioid agonist treatment, a treatment program that's offered through the WRCS, which is Toronto Public Health's harm reduction program. We also work with a number of partners across the city, and so people who have lived experience with homelessness and people at, for example, the University at Unity Health Network and the University Health Networks on a partnership that really strengthens and expands the work of that harm reduction program at Toronto Public Health, The Works. And all of those people are really important partners in terms of our ability to reduce some of the harms and the risk associated with the toxic drug supply.
In the report, it mentions that in the same time frame in 2023, the total number of deaths in the same time frame as this year's was 92, and it's actually this year's has gone down to about 79 reports of death among the untouched population in Toronto. That seems like quite the drop. What's changed from last year to this year?
You know, I think that we really understand that the impacts of the pandemic were substantial and far-reaching, and they didn't leave anybody out in terms of who they impacted and how they had an impact, and that includes impacts among people experiencing homelessness. You know, what we understand about our data is that it's collected from a number of sources, a secure web-based forum where participating agencies can report into us. We also obtain data from the City of Toronto's Shelter Support and Housing Administration. And then we receive reports from the Toronto Homeless Memorial. And all of those data combined are what we use to try and understand what is happening among this vulnerable population. And you're right, the number has decreased from the year previous. But what I would say is that, you know, we understand that a number of those deaths are still preventable, and we want to work hard to make sure that we're preventing as much harm as possible.
How many of those deaths would you say are preventable?
You know, understanding what is and isn't preventable is difficult, right? It's not an exact science. And what I would say is that we have the tools and the kinds of interventions that are data-driven and evidence-informed that we know work. So things like those harm reduction services that I've talked about and some of the partnerships that we've set up that are really aimed at reducing harm as much as possible. And then we also have things like screening programs that are meant to catch, for example, the early stages of cancer before they become things that are harmful and that might lead to death. So, you know, like we have the skills to do that work at our disposal, but it's hard to know for any individual circumstance what the outcome might have been with a different kind of intervention.
One of the other things that really stood out to me in regards to the report was that in 2021, the average age of death for the homeless population in Toronto was 78 for males and 85 for females. The age of death has gone down and is now 52 for males and 48 for females. What's been going on that has caused the age of death to become younger?
You know, I think one of the things that we actually understand well about, you know, like some of the chronic and harmful impacts of homelessness is that it does lead to death at a much earlier age than the general population. And I think the numbers that you're talking about are a comparison of the general population as opposed to the population of people experiencing homelessness. And you're absolutely right, right? Like people who experience homelessness are at risk of dying more often and much earlier in life than people who are not homeless. And that's a combination of factors, right? Like that's a combination of things like the chronic stress, chronic exposure, lack of access to healthcare, and lack of access to other services that people in the general population might not experience in the same way that leads to that death much earlier in life. And every one of these deaths is a tragedy and that so many of them are happening at such an early stage of life. And I think, again, really underscores the importance of some of the harm reduction and preventive work that we're trying to do at the health unit.
In the report, it says that the current numbers are still higher than the pre-pandemic levels. So what were the numbers before the pandemic?
You know, I don't have that information right to hand, but I would be glad to have somebody follow up with you with the exact numbers.
I think you've touched on it a few times now in regards to some of the organizations that the Toronto Public Health is working with. What is being done to help lower those numbers? Should we get them back down to, I guess, the pre-pandemic levels?
Oh, and I think that we shouldn't necessarily be aiming for pre-pandemic numbers, right? Like we should be aiming for what is consistent with everybody else in the population, right? And people experiencing homelessness should not experience death or death more often or earlier in life than you or me or anybody else in the population. And I really, you know, like, I think that should be our ultimate aim. And the City of Toronto and lots of our community partners are doing a whole bunch of stuff to, you know, to try and make that the reality. And that includes things like the Toronto Overdose Action Plan that we talked about, and some additional work to strengthen the city's overall response to the drug toxicity crisis, particularly in the shelter system, but also in general through partnerships with, you know, community health organizations, other people who are providing harm reduction, and you know, working with people who have lived experience of homelessness, in order to expand the delivery of supports and services. This is a network called the Integrated Prevention and Harm Reduction Initiative, and they do really, really hard work to try and reduce those harms specifically in the shelter system. We're also, for example, supporting efforts for the expansion of prescribed safer supply options. So a supply that's not toxic to people who use drugs as an alternative to that toxic and unregulated drug supply, with a hope that that reduces the overall number of fatal overdoses and improves outcomes for people who use drugs. We're working on a comprehensive strategy across the city to address things like mental health and wellness and substance use issues across the city at large. We work with organizations like Inner City Health Associates and Loft Community Services to integrate the services and the physical health services, the mental health services, the harm reduction supports that are provided to people living outside, as well as people who are living at specific shelter sites. We work with our partners in healthcare. So for example, at Ontario Health and other partners to talk about and to review their services frameworks to have a consistent approach to providing services that support health, support good mental health, and reduce harms associated with things like drugs and poor mental health at various shelter locations across the city. And I think, you know, like, it would be remiss if we didn't note that Housing TO, so the agency that supports housing plans in the city, has really ambitious plans to expand the number of new affordable rental homes and supportive housing, rent geared to income housing across the city.
Thank you very much for your time. That's actually all of the questions. Do you have any final comments you would like to be off on?
You know, I think it's really important to underscore that we know that homelessness is like a negative determinant of health. It impacts health in a way that's significant, as you can see from these data. And we're committed to continuing to collect those data in order to underscore the importance of this work and to looking for, you know, things that will improve the health outcomes for people experiencing homelessness, just like we talked about. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity to talk about some of the really important work that's going on.